one of the general managers, and I needed something from him. And I remember what my father taught us several years ago when you deal with people who are older than you. So I breezed into his office. The secretary allowed me to come in, and I went before him, and I went like this. "Sir, I came to see you, to talk to you." He said, "Stop." He said, "You have it." He said, "Whatever you want, you have it." He said, "You're an officer in this bank, and you can come before me like that, whatever you want." You know, from that day, I became that man's best friend. "But if I do this before you, you will think I want to go to the bathroom. So I won't do that tonight. But I want to plead with you. Don't miss tomorrow morning." That's the truth. There is only one major weapon that works against fiery darts. And I'll show you that weapon tomorrow. Do you know it is not prayer? As many of you think it is. If you pray all the prayer in the world and you don't have this that I talk about tomorrow, you're wasting your time. You will never have victory in your warfare. It is not fasting. You can fast 30 days, 45 days, 365 days and become like a toothpick. That does not make you victorious in your warfares. It is not going from revival to revival, from prophet to prophet, from deliverance minister to deliverance minister. It's only one thing that will give you the complete victory you need in your warfare. You wonder what it is? 10:30 tomorrow morning. That's what it is. We'll all be here. And I assure you, if you come and you are not blessed, we will return your tithes and offering to you. Amen. We'll just let us know how much you give. We'll give it back to you and drive you back home too and buy you a hamburger on the way back home. No hamburger, the nutritionist said. But that's how assured I am that tomorrow's service, by the grace of God, will bless you. The only reason we will not be able to preach that sermon is if Jesus comes. And if he comes before tomorrow, we don't need it anyway, because we will have known all things. We will have overcome everything. But if you want to be an overcomer, it's more than fasting, people. It's more than praying, people. It's more than coming to revival like this, people. All those things are good. I'm not saying don't do them. But if you do all those things and leave these undone, you will still be under, not over. So please don't miss tomorrow. I can't say more than that. But I hope you will respond to it. All right, I hope you're in Ezekiel chapter 13. I decided to speak for long so some of you can find it. I'm reading from verse 18 through verse 21. Now, from these verses, you will discover where these fiery darts come from and how they operate. Verse 18, Ezekiel 13. "And say, thus saith the Lord, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls." Everybody say, "Hunt souls." Yeah, that's what the fiery darts are for. Hunt souls. They go hunting. Everybody say, "I shall not be hunted." I shall not be hunted. "Will ye hunt the souls of who? My people?" And I told you yesterday that one of the targets, the prime target of fiery darts, are God's people. "And will ye save the souls alive that come to you?" In other words, those who do these things, they do it for two purposes. There are people that go to them to attack other people, and there are people that go to them for protection from attacks. So number one, he says, "Will ye hunt for the souls of my people?" And then he says, "Will ye save the souls alive that come to you?" So in other words, they put a sign outside. We can help you attack, and we can help you ward off attacks. All right? These are the people from whom our fiery darts emanate. And he says, "Will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread?" Hold it right there. Do you realize those who go to these root workers, witchcraft practitioners, and voodoo practitioners, do you realize that The things that destroy the souls of people, what they charge, you will not believe it. You will not believe what they charge. You will have thought to destroy a man's marriage, they will charge $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. Most cases, they just say, give us a free will offering. We'll get it done. In fact, I know places in Africa that you go to do evil to people, and they say, just a penny is what we need. Give us a penny. In fact, there was a time back in Nigeria when we used to spend half penny coins. They say, half penny, that's your charge, and we'll destroy him. And God says here, it's been before, now it is till today. Will you pollute me among my people with what? Handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread? To slay the souls that what? Should not die. That's what I'm saying. Everybody say, I will not die. Say, I should not die. Say, I serve my enemies, notice tonight. Say, I am one of those that should not die in the name of Jesus Christ. But the fact that you said that doesn't mean they will not try you. He said, to slay the souls that shall not die. Look at the next statement. And to save the souls alive that shall not leave, by your lying to my people that hear your lies. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows, wherewith ye there hunt the souls of them to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go. Even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. By the grace of God, you are going out from every bondage. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are going to be released by the power of God. In verse 21, it says, your kerchiefs also will I tear, and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be what? Hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Do you know you can get to a place where God will give you rest from all your warfare? Someone, I was discussing with someone during this past week, and she said, Bishop, when will this war be over? And I said, at a time the wars that David fought came to an end. And I believe God has not changed. The God who gave David complete victory shall give you victory also in the name of Jesus Christ. Now I wanted to notice something in these verses that is worthy of note. In verse 18, I want to draw your attention to some words that I've not talked about so far. Look at verse 18. And he said, thus saith the Lord, woe to the what? To the women. To the women. To the women. What does that mean? Now, anyone who is into witchcraft know that there are more women than men in the practice of this evil. That's plain truth. I'm not against women. I'm not anti-women liberation, but I am anti-witchcraft. 9 out of 10 times in most cases of those that practice witchcraft are from the female sex. So God zeroes in on them and he says, woe, woe to the women. But I wanted to notice something in your Bible. Do you notice that the word woman is written in italics? Do you know why? It is written in italics because it is not in the original Bible. In the original, it says, woe to those that sew pillows to all armholes. But those who translated this verse, knowing that more women are in the trade, that's why they put women there. Now that means that is common knowledge, but that is not absolute truth. Because there are men also that are involved in this that we are talking about. And you know what I found out? It's easier to suspect women than to suspect men. Be careful, the devil comes in three-piece suit. And you don't know what he's been into. Many of you have heard me tell this story many, many times. Now telling it even makes me sound redundant. But I tell it because there are many of you who are new here who have never heard me tell it. I went with Gad to a lawyer's office in Brooklyn several years ago. And we sat in the reception. There was a black, huge man in the reception. I passed him. I went in. And God waited for me in the reception. By the time I came back, God said, Bishop, you'll never believe what happened. What happened? God, come and tell your story. Since you are out every night, you might as well come out again this night and come and tell your story. It's not only women that are involved in this. Come fast. God always likes to walk like a rich man because he's rich. All right, make it fast. Now, tell us what happened that day. Come up here, sir. Tell us what happened that day. Is it 4th Avenue or where was it? 4th Avenue. Yes.
When we went to the office, Bishop went upstairs and I was sitting in the reception.
Yes.
And this man came and then he shook my hand. When he shook my hand, he removed his hand like this.
Quickly.
And then he shook me again. Then he removed his hand. Then he looked at me and said that there is something in you. And I said, what is it? And he said that, look, there's some power in you.
My God.
And I asked him, then he started telling me all sort of stories. He told me how he was in the church and backslided. And now he has known that. He said he had to go back
to the church.
To the church. Because he saw that the spirit that is in me is greater than what is in him.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There was something inside that man. All right, there was some practice that man had got himself involved in when he left church that made him shake the hand of a man filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and something burned him. Say, oh Lord, burn them one by one in the name of Jesus. Anywhere I go, everyone I shake. Let the fire of God shake them up. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I'm telling you people, there are many men. I've had encounters with many of them in these few years that I've been in this world who will suggest this and suggest that and suggest that. And I will say, it's not only women that are in this trade. Men also are in the trade. But let me tell you something more. Of all the people that practice witchcraft, even though three out of them are women, I believe that the most wicked of them are men. That's the truth. Women are compassionate. Women will probably think twice. But if a man ever gets himself to the position where many of these women are, and you happen to cross their path, you're in big trouble. But I thank God, because greater is he that is in the believer than he that is in the world. Let me go on in my verse 18. Then we'll look at the next statement. It says, woe unto the women that sew pillows. Hold it right there. Many of you will think they must have children. That's why they sew pillows, so their children can sleep on the pillows at night. No, God uses the word pillows. It's not necessarily pillow. The pillow he's talking about can be as small as one that I can put in the palm of my hand, or as big as the top of this pulpit. Those are nothing but what we call today talisman. Those are nothing but what we call today charms. And those are nothing but what we go to imams and to Muslim clerics and they sew for us. It could be made of clothes, it could be made of leather, and it could be made of pure thread. And they sew it, and they are kerchiefs. That's what we call amulets back in Africa. Listen to me closely now, because I'm getting close to where I'm going. Before fiery darts are sent, there are things that must be done. And those are the things God begins to talk about here. In the case of verse 18, it talks about pillows. It talks about kerchiefs. But there's something else it talks about, that if you are not careful, you may not get it. It talks about statues. It says, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue. They call it statue here, but it's actually statue. To hunt souls. To hunt souls. And I think I've said that so many times here, I don't have to say it again. Most of the time, before an attack takes place, there must be a point of contact. In fact, I'm going to write a whole book. That one crossed my mind when I was with a couple here on Wednesday. I'm going to write a whole book on point of contact. In the case here, there is a statue. You all see this microphone? That is a point of contact. They don't have to be in Brooklyn as long as they have a point of contact. They don't have to be in Europe as long as they have a point of contact. All they have to do is know what to do, and they can hunt this point of contact, and it will hunt the victim down wherever the victim may be. Sometimes this point of contact comes in the form of a doll. Sometimes they come in the form of a carved wood. At other times, they come in the form of a carved metal. And it is put on the ground, and then whatever is done to this can affect the man that is in Asia from Ghana. Can affect the man that is in New York from Nigeria. Can affect the woman that is in Jamaica, Queens from St. Thomas. All you need is the statue. Made of wood, made of dolls. But that's not the only thing that is used today, ladies and gentlemen. If you can get, and I've said this so many times, if you can get a photograph. If you can get a photograph of a person, it can replace that statue. In fact, I found out that photographs are the best. And we kind of use it against the devil too when we tell people to bring the photographs of their loved ones and we lay hands on the photographs and we say we send the word of God. Have you ever seen ministers do that? We send the word of God. We say we need a point of contact. Just bring the photograph of your loved one and we send the word of God to them wherever they may be. I remember we had a 9 p.m. service down in Alabama several years ago, and a Nigerian lady came to the service. It was 9 p.m. I said, bring the photographs you have with you. And she brought a photograph. We anointed a photograph. 9 p.m. back then in Alabama was 2 a.m. in her hometown in Nigeria. The moment we lay hand on the photograph, something happened to her friend in Nigeria that turned his situation from bad to good because we used his photograph as a point of contact. Well, all you need to know is that the devil is a copycat. What God uses for good, he uses for evil. All they need is your photograph. I remember Brother David would tell me many times, Bishop, don't put your photograph on your books. You know, he would tell me, say, Bishop, don't put your photograph on your books. And he wouldn't say it beyond that point. But I know what he had in mind. All they need to do is tear your photograph from the back of your book. Only God knows how many of my books are purchased. Not because of the content inside, but because of the handsome photograph on the back of it. I'm telling you. And I just smile. I say, whoever touches my photograph touches the eyes of God. Because my life is hid with Christ in God. So before you can touch me, you have to touch God. And then you have to touch Christ. And I'm hidden, this little boy is hidden inside that enclosure. And I'm going, wah. You can't touch me in the name of Jesus Christ. They use photographs. Sometimes they look for the flyers of ministers when they preach. And they tear out the picture of the preacher, and they go send arrows against him, and maybe he'll be preaching and will just fall down dead, or something will happen to him where they throw the arrow against the photograph that they have in front of them. These things we're talking about is serious. So in order to do this thing, you need a point of contact. All right? I'm not saying this to scare you. Please don't get me wrong. But it's just a reality. The photograph you left with your old boyfriend that you jilted. Only God knows what the boy did with that photograph. The photograph you left with your old girlfriend that you walked away from after she got pregnant. And she's still carrying your baby somewhere. But here you are, looking so holy, looking so pious. There's a baby somewhere, and only God knows where your picture is. Oh, the love wedding pictures very well. Oh, my God, wedding pictures. That is the juicy one that they use to destroy marriages. You see, that time you and your husband stood in front of the mirror, in front of the camera, and you smiled, and they clicked. That's the best time. And that's the best one the enemy looks like. It says, turn their joy into sadness. And what the enemy usually does is take the picture and tear it in the middle, carefully, maybe with a scissors, and just tear you apart. And they say, the way it is in this picture is the way it must be in their real life. And then you just find out for no reason, you and your husband keep fighting. One fight after the other. Because somebody has a point of contact that they use somewhere. Oh, how about graduation pictures? One guy couldn't find a job. And he went to a prophet. And the prophet said, oh, the war against you started the day you graduated. Who took pictures when you were there? He said, so many people brought their cameras. He said, they didn't even get the picture from you. They took it with their own camera and developed it. And that's the beginning, the genesis of your problem. So, Bishop, how do you know these things? Research. Research. Oh, they love to use clothing too. Love to use clothing. Some of you have missed clothing that you can't account for. And they love parts of your body. I've told you this many, many times. Your hair. The lady over there, I don't want to mention her name so it won't be in the tape. But the sister Osha over there, she told me several years ago, you see, she's from London. You know, grew up in London. She didn't grow up where we grew up. So she got London cloud in her eyes. She still has the British accent till today. But she told me many, many, many years ago in the Bronx. She said, Bishop, I used to live with a man. And the man told me years and years and years ago, she said, please, when you comb your hair in the bathroom, collect the hair and don't leave a single hair there. She said, I didn't understand. You remember you told me that years and years and years. She said, I didn't understand what this person was telling me until I started hearing you. Because all the enemy has to do is grab hold of your hair. The arrow will get you wherever you are. If you are not covered in the blood of Jesus. You know, growing up in the village, my father would tell us when we cut our nails. I'll never forget this. Dad would say, every nail that you cut, gather everything and go and throw it into the latrine. Don't ask me what latrine is. He said, gather your nails and throw it into the latrine. And I didn't know what he, because he will never go beyond that point. But now that I know what I know, now I understand why Dad will always say, gather it and throw it away where nobody will be able to get it. Because the enemy uses it as a point of contact to attack. Even the spittle that comes out of your mouth. Even the glasses that you wear in your eyes, in front of your face. Even your wristwatch. Even the products that you sell in your store. It's a jungle out there, folks. You open a store, 99-cent store. And all they need to do is come in there and buy toilet tissue for 99 cents. If it came from your store, they can throw arrows into your store. We live in a very wicked world. You sing songs and you sell tapes. All they have to do is buy one of your recordings. And you just find out that your first album that nothing came against sold very well. But this second album that is even better than the first one never sold. Warfare. At other times it's the sound of your voice. You know, I pay very much attention when people call my house and hang up. Because all they're looking for is your voice. And if you call my house too many times and you hang up, I wish you knew what I say when you hang up. I don't curse you, but I bind whatever you want to do with my voice. And I render it useless in your hands. You say you are too superstitious. You are not living in the real world. It's a world of war. It's a world of wickedness. What about footprints? That's why I laugh at people who go to churches where they don't wear shoes. You're an easy target. In this New York, as cold as it is, someone will say when you come to church, don't wear shoes. Easy target. I remember some guys that went to supervise some men who are stealing money in Africa. I know this guy. I know him very well. We used to teach together. He said we used to work and we used to steal money. He said, and some men came from the headquarters to supervise us. He said, oh, Luke, do you know what we did to him? I said, no. He said, all we did was gather the footprints of his Jeep. He drove a 4x4 into the woods where they walked. He said, when he left, we gathered the footprints of his Jeep. And we took it to the man. And the man said, point of contact? He said he will not get to where he's going. And he didn't. I wasn't even saved when I heard that story. He did not. Point of contact. Everybody say point of contact. Say in the name of Jesus. See every point of contact that the enemy is exploiting to use against me, I sever you right now from my life in the name of Jesus. See, at other times, you may be one of those very careful people. Or maybe I should say careless. You are born and raised in the USA. Or you are born and raised in an environment of joy, of peace, of love. Where nobody hates nobody. You know, when you are born in an environment like that, you become very careless. And you think everybody is a friend. You wear their clothes. They wear your clothes. You wear their hat, they wear your hat. Some even go to the extent of allowing people to wear the clothes they wear closest to their body. Say, that is love. Well, where there is love, that may be love. But where there is wickedness, you've got to think twice. Or else, you will have yourself to blame. There's always some point of contact before arrows are shot, before missiles are sent. You know, I came across a bunch of true-to-life stories that I want to read to you tonight that will shock some of you because of how true they are. Some of them I got from Africa. Some of them I got from here. Some of them I got from South Africa. About the seriousness of point of contact. Listen to this. Chinedu. This is African story. He's a young businessman. How do you pronounce that? Chinedu. Good. I'm an African. Chinedu is a young businessman who came to me and complained to me about business reversals. As soon as I began praying for him, the Lord revealed to me that 5,000 local currency was given to his aunt as a Christmas gift. And part of the money ended up with witches. After prayers, Chinedu went home and confronted this woman who admitted that she took part of the money to the witches as point of contact to shoot arrows at him. The power of witchcraft over Chinedu's business was destroyed, and today his business is flourishing. I'm talking about point of contact. Next story is about Olumide. If anybody's name is Olumide here, don't be afraid. This is not you, but this is your namesake. He says, Olumide was my classmate at LA school, Oshodi. He suddenly took ill, and all medication given to him was in vain. X-ray revealed nothing after complaining so much about stomach ache. However, he saw a Christian doctor who said he believed something must be inside him, even though the X-ray did not reveal it. So he took him into surgery and cut him open. What they found inside him was unbelievable. Right inside his stomach was found a table knife, a fork, and a spoon. These were shot inside him through the power of witchcraft. True story. Brother God told you his side of the story yesterday. And I used to live with a woman several years ago who told me, said, Pastor, they used to call me pastor before I became pastor. He said, Pastor, there's an Indian man downtown who is taking things out of people's bodies. I said, you go, come tell me what he took out of you. Now she came back, she said, she didn't take, he couldn't find anything inside me. But my little sister, he took 3 spoons out of her. And she has been having stomach trouble for many, many, many years. Point of contact. Now let's go to South America. Norman Parrish. This is a serious one, folks. A missionary to Guatemala related the story of a recent raid on a witchcraft center by authorities in Guatemala City. According to the law, witchcraft is prohibited in Guatemala. Is that true? Is anybody here close to Guatemala? All right, nobody's close to Guatemala. You're only close to Jersey City. But here we are, but in that state, there is a tolerance towards it. Even though the law is against it, they did not enforce the law. And seldom are witches hunted down and arrested. However, someone filed a complaint that made the police to move on a witchcraft coven. Listen to this. According to the official report, about 100 empty jars were found in the headquarters where the witches meet, and each jar was labeled with the name of some individuals. Authorities were baffled, but those familiar with witchcraft knew that the witches had entrapped the people within those jars. The purpose was to control their mind, their will, their emotion, and everything about them. I met a man at New Life last Saturday when I went to sign books. He's a Caucasian man. We're going to be doing deliverance for him here very soon. He looked at me and said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Every time I get close to making a major decision, confusion will come all over me. I smiled, I looked at him, I said, sir, God is not the author of confusion. I said, if you are confused, it's not from God. And if it's not from God, then it's from the devil. I said, when we pray for you, we'll find out where it came from and we'll break it. He called me yesterday, I never called my wife's line, leaving his number again for us to schedule him. But the purpose was to take control over the the person's mind, the person's will, the person's emotion, and everything about that person. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus, my mind is out of control of the enemy. Say, my will, my emotions, and everything about me. Have you ever seen people who just start crying for no reason? They just love to cry. And you wonder, why is this person like this? This person is a strong man. How come he cries all the time? He's an emotional wreck. Could be witchcraft. Have you ever seen people who just drink and drink and drink? Do you know most alcoholics, especially in Africa, they are actually under the arrows of the weapon of witchcraft? They say, this one, just keep on drinking. That's your own. He would drink and drink and drink and drink. I met a man the other day right here in the USA. He was talking to me like this. His mouth was smelling of alcohol. I went to his friend. I said, that man, I said, he's drunk. Oh, he said, that's what they gave to him. He said, that's what they gave to him. When he said that's what they gave to him, I understood. I said, and he received it. And whatever they give to you, you will give back to them. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We used to have a brother in our church when I was in the former church. The brother eventually came with us to this church. And he's no more here now. I won't tell you where he is so you won't know who he is. But we had some witches in the church. We had some witches in the church. And we grabbed them one by one. And if they are here too, before the end of this year, you will be grabbed one by one. And that's my prophecy for you. If you came here and you're of another spirit, before this year ends, you will be publicly exposed if you do not repent in the name of Jesus. Even if you are among the workers in the church and you think you are covered, you shall be uncovered. If you can't say amen to that, something is wrong with you. So when those of you who were with me that time, you know what I'm talking about. One by one, they started coming out, they started confessing. And one of them told me, said, Bishop, what we do is give people what they would do in the church. He said, you know, brother so-and-so. I said, yes, I know him. That brother can talk from now till tomorrow nonstop. I'm serious. He can talk from now till tomorrow. Just like a parrot. I said, like, he said, that's what we give him. So we give him the spirit of a parrot. And how can you talk that much and be a spiritual person? In the multitude of words, they are wanted not sin. He said, that's what we give him. And I couldn't go to him. Because he already had problem with anger. So if I go and tell him that this is what they give you, only God knows what will happen on Sunday morning when he sees those who said they gave it to him. Isn't it funny that you go to church and they give you something? The house of God is a place where you should receive blessings, not where you should receive curses, but where you worship with agents of darkness. I talked to a pastor in Africa. He said, 42 of our children got initiated into witchcraft by some of the children that they play with. By the grace of God, our children's church is out of bounds. Our youth ministry is out of bounds. Our congregation is out of bounds. This is a place of deliverance. If you come here to be delivered, that's fine. But if you come here to inoculate and infest, the Lord will expose you. In the name of Jesus Christ. They take control over people's mind, over people's will, over people's emotion, and everything about the person. With this accomplished, those people will be caused to become more like puppets. Easily managed. Their finances, easily managed. Their marriages, easily managed. If they are in ministry, their ministry will be easily managed. Whatever they are, will be easily managed. Listen to this. On some of the containers that were found were the names of public personalities such as government officials in Guatemala. The police destroyed all the paraphernalia. But that doesn't destroy it. If you don't destroy it with the power of God, it is not destroyed. Let me read you another story. Once a lady went to a root worker to cause a man to woo her. You say, what does that mean? Do you know that's very common here in New York? A lady goes to a man and says, help me. All right? So that this man, his heart will come to me so he can leave his wife alone. Oh, that's very common. This sister over here was telling me a story this past week of how somebody told her that they went, listen to this, they went somewhere years ago. His friend wanted to marry this woman, and the woman wouldn't budge. So they say, you will budge. So they went and put things together and shot arrow of hot love into her heart. Whether you like it or not, love. So that he will love this other man and marry her. And it worked. But somehow, the marriage did not take place. Somehow. So the man went and married somebody else. And the woman went and married somebody else. Listen to this. But the woman now married to somebody else, the curse and the hex is still working on her. So even though she has her own husband and he has his own wife, she still wants him. Maybe you are married today, saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You are with your wife or with your husband, but your mind is in Guatemala, where your old girlfriend is. Maybe somebody did something to you in 1966, and you are saying, how come I am supposed to be a Christian, happily married to this man? Why is my mind still on Ahab that I left 26 years ago? Only God knows what Ahab did to you that you have not broken, that you have not dealt with. You are sleeping in the same bed with your husband, and you are wishing, and you are imagining, and you are, you know the rest of the story. This brother said, eh. Yes. So once a lady went to a root worker to cause a man to woo her. She knew that this man will not leave his wife because of the love he has toward his daughter. Isn't that beautiful? And I love my children so much, I can't leave my wife. If I leave my wife, these children will suffer. And I tell people, even if you don't love your wife for the sake of your children, don't leave her. If you don't love your husband for the sake of your children, don't leave him. But the devil is so bad. You know what the root worker did? He said, let's separate him from his daughter. And then we will get her. Jesus. So, the root worker said, bring me one of the toys that the girl likes. So she went and somehow got the toy of the daughter and took it to the witch woman. And here we are told the woman put a spell on the doll. Before long, the man developed hatred for his daughter. Would beat the daughter, and the wife didn't like that. And it led to war in the house, and then she came into the scene. Have you ever seen how the devil times everything so perfectly? Right? This Ahab, who appears never to have seen you before, will not see you until you start having problem with your husband. And it is then he starts showing kindness. He goes to Burger King and buys you a Whopper. And brings it to you and says, Miss so-and-so, I was at Burger King. And my mind just went to you that you've been down lately. I bought you a Whopper and a Whopper. And I have you some French fries. And then you say, wow. This is the kindness that a Christian should be showing me. It is an unbeliever that is showing me this. Before you realize it, you'll be dreaming dreams. You'll be seeing visions. And you'll be missing church. And before we know it, the deed is done. To cut a long story short, that's how they got that man. Point of contact. All of you who are married here, the devil will not steal your spouse.
Amen.
I know some of you have to say amen because you want the devil to steal them. I know what your problem is. I really know it. I know what your problem is. You are saying, what kind of prayer is this? If the devil wants to steal him, let him steal him. He's a candidate for stealing anyway. Let the church say amen. Some of you only said amen so that people will say, why did you say amen? Hallelujah. I got about three more stories and then we'll do some warfare tonight. Listen to this. I read a story about a woman and I almost cried when I read this, folks. I almost cried. The woman took a wooden statue of her only son because the son was living in the United States and never sent her money. She took the wood and spoke to the wood and said, Junior, this is you. And after she had done what the witchcraft doctor told her to do, she put it in hot water and started boiling it. The moment she started boiling that thing, the man where he was started sweating. And doctors were baffled because he had normal body temperature. But he was sweating like a Christmas goat. He sweated and sweated till all the water in his body evaporated. And he died in the process. See what I'm talking about? Household wickedness. Point of contact. Arrows from afar off. I told you to say, shoot it. Kill it. And do anything to it. I'm going to give you two more and then we'll go before God. This is a there was a and they just shut my microphone. But we've got about 10 microphones here. You have to waste all your bullets. Listen to this. There was a woman, a landlady. You know who a landlady is? She's the lady who owns the land. This woman rented a house, listen to this, from this landlady, not knowing that the landlady was into witchcraft. That's why I tell you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, do what? Don't just get into a house because you like it. Get into it because God said, get into it. Because God knows what you don't know. Right, she got into the house, but she did not know the woman was into witchcraft. And then suddenly, she developed a sore on her right leg. Suddenly. They went to every doctor. This happened in Nigeria. They went to every doctor in Benin City. No doctor could help her. The soul will just ooze out. Ooze out. It won't heal. They went to witch doctors. They went to white doctors. They went to everywhere. They had no relief. And then a minister came through town. I like this. The minister looked at the man and said, you want me to pray for your wife? He said, yes. You know what the minister said? He said, no. He said, she doesn't need prayer. He said, I'll tell you what she needs. I know what her problem is. I used to be part of that. The man said, she doesn't need prayer. I said, no, she doesn't need prayer. I will tell you what she needs. He said, what does she need? He said, do you have a relative in a town close by here. There's a town close to that Benin city called Warri. So he said, I have a relative in a town called Warri. He said, good. He said, at 1:15 a.m. in the morning, he said, wake your wife up, 1:15 a.m., and carry her to Warri. It's not far from here. He said, carry her there. He said, she will not wake up. So bundle her into the car and carry her sleeping. And the man said, I've tried everything. I might as well try this one. So at 1:15 a.m., went to wake his wife up. The woman never woke up. She was just snoring. Bundled her. Threw her in the car. Drove off to Warri. They stayed in Warri until it was morning. Till it was daybreak. And then he woke her up. And she woke up. And she said, what are we doing here? And the man said, don't worry about it. And the woman got up. You know what happened? The sore that had been there for years had dried up. It wasn't that it took days or months to it dried up when she woke up. And they couldn't understand what happened until they got back home to Benin City. When they got back home, the landlady was screaming and shouting in her room. And was shouting, my leg, my right leg, my leg, my right leg. And they went there and knocked her door and said, mommy, what happened to your leg? This is what happened, ladies and gentlemen. They shot this tenant an arrow that caused the wound. And every night at 12 midnight, she will carry the leg. You'll never understand this. Just trust me. She will carry the leg to the witchcraft meeting. That's why she can never wake up until the woman comes back. Because until she comes back to put the saw back there, she will never wake up. Point of contact. She will carry the leg to the coven because that is what they use for dessert. After they finish their food, they sucked on it for juice. You want to throw up? Turn to somebody and tell them, I thank God I'm not a witch. Because only God knows what you'll be drinking at 1:15 in the morning. So that's what they saw. And they've sucked it for so many, the thing can never be healed. But the guy that went there, the minister that went there, was one of them before. And he was saved now. One way or the other, God will work it out for you. Did you hear what I said? I said, one way or another, God will work it out for you. He was one of them, and now he's saved. If I tell you his own story, you won't believe it, so I won't even tell you his story. It was the man that, the chicken man that I told you. You remember the chicken man? You people just like to hear my stories. He was a chicken man. Evangelist Balogun. He was a chicken man. I passed by his hometown when I went to Nigeria. I wanted to go and meet him. I said, man, you are bad. Before you got saved, you are bad. And he was bad. He was deep. He passed by one voodoo man, said they were all in it. And he passed by his house. They were eating pounded yam and chicken. I told you this before. And they never gave him the chicken. Never gave him out of the food. The moment the wife saw him coming, carry the stew and put it inside the house. And he said, when will you be leaving? When will you be leaving? And then he said, because you don't want to give me out of the chicken, you went and hid it. So he left. But he was a powerful, wicked man. When he left at the edge of the city, he commanded the chicken that they cooked to come out of the pot. I said you won't believe me. That's why I don't want to tell you. Now you're saying what? He commanded the chicken to come out of the pot. The chicken jumped out of the pot. All right. The feathers jumped and joined it. The leg joined the trunk. The trunk joined the neck. The neck joined the arm. And then the feathers, where they threw the feathers in the incinerator, they flew back. And the chicken that was in the pot started going, quack, 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 quack. And they knew it because they are all there. But power passes power. The man's power was greater than their own power. So he said, yay, look for the man. They looked for him, called him out from the city. Say, I told you. He said, ordinary chicken. He said, the chicken you will not give me to eat, you will not eat it too. Now, who will eat that kind of chicken now? Because when he came back, the chicken died again and went back into the pot. Look, I'm from Africa. And when I talk about these things, many of you don't realize I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I know some of you now for the rest of this year is a chicken story you will tell the whole world. But that man got saved. Are you listening to Bishop tonight? That man got saved and started preaching the gospel. He's still preaching the gospel till today. He was the one that went to their house and said, that's nothing. Say, you don't even need to pray. You don't need to read Bible. You know what? Your way of escape. I pray that one way or another, God will show it to you. See, that's what it takes. Sometimes it's not even prayer. It's not fasting. It's not nothing. It's just God putting the right person into your life. And the right person came and said, this one, maybe he even sucked out of the thing before. He said, just take her out of town to worry. Take her out of town. And don't come back until morning. So when the old woman came back at 3 a.m., she was looking for where to put the saw. But nobody was in the house. So she ran to the dog. And the dog went, oh, 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 oh. Don't put it on me. Oh, oh, oh. So she ran away from the dog. True story. She went to the cat. The cat said, meow. She went away from the cat. She ran all over the house. It was daybreak. So she had nowhere else to put the saw but her own leg. Everything they put on you will return to sender. Amen. You should not carry the load that does not belong to you. You are now a child of God, saved, washed in the blood. Why should I carry a load that the enemy puts on my head? The owners of their evil load must carry their load tonight. So the evangelist said, this is why I told you you don't need prayer. Point of contact. Let me round up tonight because I want us to do some warfare. This one happened among the Indians in South America. How many of you have heard of these Indians? If you're an Indian descent, if you're an Indian descent, and many of you are, you will see how much warfare you're going through. And you need to be praying that whatever you're going through that is connected to your ancestors, that the Lord would deliver you. Someone went and bought a church in the Oregon area, and it was on a land where some Indians, American Indians, did some sacrifice. And when they wanted to take it over from them, they said, nothing that is done on this land will ever prosper. This brother, not knowing anything but the land, and built a church there. The church did not prosper. He went to God and said, God, what is happening? God said, it's a cursed land by the American Indians. He reversed the curse. It was after he did that, that the church began to prosper. Let me read this to you and then we'll go before God. This is a very serious story, folks. I'm talking about point of contact and the arrows of wickedness. I'm amazed how many of you don't know some of these my stories. Because all the stories I'm telling, I've told them before. This one is a big one. Point of contact. They allow arrows to come into your life. Listen to this. This story comes from South America. This story comes from among the Indians in the Amazon region, where the Indians rule with a rod of iron. It is a story of somebody who got saved after this thing that I'm about to tell you happened. His name was Pete Grace. I don't believe that was his original name. I think he changed it after he became a Christian. In the early 1970, he related, Pete was doing traditional medicine. You know what they call traditional medicine? I went to buy multivitamins from a, what they call those stores? Health food store near my house. And there was this nice lady from Jamaica that I met there. And I said, I'm looking for a very good vitamin C. And she said, oh, this one is good. This one is with rose hips. This one is with banana hips. This one is with apple hips. I said, which hip is the better hip? And then she chose me one. I said, you must be using a lot of vitamins. You look very healthy. And she said, yes. She said, my father in Jamaica is a herbalist. That's what I said. I said, ooh. It's a herbalist. Traditional medicine. Don't let nobody fool you. Another name for traditional medicine is witchcraft. That's the truth. Another name for traditional medicine is Obeah. Oh, you say, no, the nice people, they have all these botanical bookstores. Eh? They will botanize you before you realize it. But he was practicing traditional medicine. I had an uncle who did that. He was the one that I told you shook something in my ear and took a sharp knife and cut me with it. And my skin just went up like this and came right back down. No blood, no nothing. Traditional medicine. Anyway, in the early 1990s, Pete was doing traditional medicine. He wasn't a doctor, but he was doing traditional medicine on the reservation. His healing ministry, if you can call it healing ministry, was so effective that he was drawing away business from some of the other medicine men out of spite. The other medicine men decided to cast an evil spell on his family. Guess what happened? They did. And they succeeded. You know what they did? They carried some of Pete's personal belongings. And they put them together. And they had a witchcraft burial with it. They took some of his clothes from the line outside. They took some of his wife's clothes from the line outside. They took some of the grass from his yard. And they did a very powerful sacrifice with it. Before 7 days, Pete and his wife became seriously ill. Her symptoms included blood clot. Have you ever seen a healthy person? Healthy person. Eh? Who takes garlic and Coumadin? And then they say, she developed blood clot. And you ask yourself, someone that takes garlic and Coumadin, how can they develop blood clot? After all, these are supposed to be blood-thinning medicine. You say, how do you know? Why do you think I'm a doctor? It's not Coumadin, it's Coumadin. Either Coumadin or Coumadin, you have an idea. in my own practice of medicine, we call it Comodin. Let the church say amen. You know I'm not a doctor. But anyway, she developed blood clot. She developed long lesions. And she developed partial paralysis. That's what they gave her. By the grace of God, everything they have given you. Say, in the name of Jesus. Say, everything the enemy has given me, I give it back to them. In the name of Jesus. That's why next Sunday, not tomorrow, next Sunday, I'm preaching on return to sender. That's what I'm preaching on. Return to sender. Return to sender. Anyway, that's what they gave her. And in addition, and Pete contracted painful sores in the throat. That's what they gave him. They gave him in the throat. He had sores. How can sore get inside your throat when you didn't eat bad pineapple? In addition to their physical problems, the Graces also lost 70 goats to coyotes, and they watched their farm catch fire spontaneously and burn halfway. Fire just came from nowhere and destroyed their farm. All the while, Pete and his wife were tormented by a flock of owls that loitered at night outside their hospital window and around their abode. They took them to the hospital. Owls will come at night and start talking to them. The owl, you know, is a notorious messenger of death. You know that. And darkness. Owls reportedly cried before the death of Julius Caesar, for those of you who love literature. And before the death of Emperor Augustus, owls cried. Even then, the bird was associated with witchcraft back then. In Scotland, the bird has long been known as the night hag or as the cock's bird. Much of the historical uneasiness is undoubtedly due to the creature's nocturnal habits, mournful and semi-human face. So when Pete could not cure his wife, he turned to other medicine men. Most of them operated from the Chaos Mesa area. They performed many ceremonies, but none of them produced any result. With growing concern, Pete extended his search for help into the Hopi reservation and finally into the Kayenta area. True story I'm reading to you. Some of these medicine men were able to retrieve the buried witchcraft bundle. But the fact that they retrieved it didn't change anything. His wife continued to deteriorate. As a last resort, Pete took her to the hospital in Tuba City. Unfortunately, this also proved fruitless. By now, Pete began to despair. It got to the point where he wanted to get drunk and drive off a cliff, which he saw as preferable to the agony of the spell. The owls. This is where it gets bad, folks. That were flocking around his house at night began to speak to the family in human voice. You know what? I want to go as a missionary to South America. And I believe God will open doors for us. You ready? God will open doors for us to go and walk among the Indians in the Amazon region down south. All right? We'll go to Haiti. We'll clean them out of voodoo. We'll go to Jamaica. Brother Joel is from Haiti. Oh, the bishop is here tonight. All right? We're going to be going to Haiti together. Oh, both of you stand. Give them a big hand. Joel is from Haiti. He just joined this church about a month ago. Now, the precious lady beside him is from Haiti also. All right? She was given 24 churches to be bishop over. And we're going to be working together with her. All right? So get ready, Haiti. We're coming. We're coming. We're coming with the gospel. You may be seated. We love both of you. Now, the owls began to speak with human voice. Now, this is where it gets bad. Some of you are looking at me and say, Come on, Bishop. Come on. Come on. I can see your American mind working against you now. I say, come on, Bishop. How can owl speak with human voice? And this man is out of his mind. Well, I pray it will never happen to you. I pray it will never happen to you. But these things are real. Turn to somebody and tell them these things are real. The owls were flocking around his house at night and began to speak to the family in human voice. They would speak obscenities and they would taunt them that you people are going to die. 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 That's what the owls kept saying. Actually, it wasn't the owl speaking. Some witches turned into owls. And they were talking like that. One night, in winter time, things got really bad. The dog started barking as if everyone was outside. But when Pete went out to look around, no one was there. The coyotes were howling. And the owls were screaming their death threat and began to say, you will all die. You will all die. And of course, the more they said that, the more the wife's condition went down and went down and went down. Then something happened. What happened was Pete's wife came in contact with some Christians and they began to intercede on her behalf. Are you getting happy now? This story is going to get gooder and gooder now. I read this story. I shouted in my office. As a consequence of this prayer support, her condition improved. You know what this church is all about? Prayer support. By the grace of God, we will support you in prayer. And this battle you've been fighting before you came to this church, the Lord will turn it around for you in the name of Jesus Christ. So they were supporting her in prayer. Look, if you go to a church and people are unwilling to support you with prayer, it's time for you to leave that church. If they are willing to give you prayer support and stay up night. I remember one of our brothers here, a medical doctor. He moved from here to another state, to Arkansas. And they wanted to get rid of him on his job. I told him, I said, can you fly to New York? He said, I can. He flew in. Brother Raji, you remember that night? It was midnight. David was there. Gad was there. Who else was there? Bro, Kuhn, weren't you there that night? I don't know if it was who was there. But we're here for midnight with him. And his sister and his sister's husband. Right in that corner from midnight. Oh God. Oh God. He must not lose his job. Oh God. He must not lose his job. We're buying. We were sleepy. But we kept awake. Hallelujah. And then he went back. And we said, you go into that case. It was a case. And they called him in. And that Thursday I said, we want to come to Arkansas and be with you. And he said, Bishop, don't worry. I was going to send David or Aji to go and be with him in the court case. And he said, no. He said, they won't even let you in. Because it's a departmental thing. I said, well, Jesus will go in with you. Amen. Well, guess what? Thursday he called. He said, Bishop, it's over. Amen. It's over. I won the case. I won the case. I won the case. I won the case. They did not get my license from. How can they get your license from you when you have brothers and sisters that can tarry before God with you in prayer? Don't carry your burdens alone. Don't carry your troubles alone. That's why you are in a family. The family of God in this place will stick with you until you get the victory. Can I hear hallelujah to that? I don't believe you should be in a family like this family and suffer like you suffer. Don't keep it to yourself. Come, let's pray about it. And let's believe God to change it. If we need to fast, we'll fast. One brother came to me last week. He told me what his problems are. You know what I told him? I said, see me on Sunday. One day next week, I'll meet with you. And we'll tarry before God. We'll lay on our face in the sanctuary where nobody's there. And we'll believe God. And things will turn around for you. That is what a church is supposed to be. When you go to a church where all they want is your tithes and offering. All they want is your building fund. They don't want to stand by you and pray for you and fast with you. Something is wrong with a congregation like that. These people got saved. They got saved in the right place. As a result of a prayer condition, prayer support, the condition improved. Let me tell you something. Your condition will not only improve, your condition will turn around. Did you hear what I said? It will not only improve, it will completely and totally change in the name of Jesus Christ. When you have God's people who can stand with you, the devil cannot stand against you. Thank you. It improved to the extent that she was now able to get up and she was able to walk around. But the bad news was that the dark forces were still bewitching their house and their home site. Then the good news happened. One day, somebody came to have a camp meeting to preach, and the entire family came to that meeting. They all came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and they all gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And that's where it begins, folks. When the service ended, Pete went for counseling, and he asked what to do about the commotion still plaguing his household. The minister responded and said, when the owls come again, just go out and preach to them. Isn't that beautiful? He said, when the owls come again in the night, just go out of your house and preach to them. So they came as usual. All right? And Pete stepped out of his pickup because he was coming home from the revival and they had already got there waiting for him. So by the time he pulled up in front of his house, they were already talking, oh, you are back. You are going to die. You are going to die. He just stepped out of his pickup. And he said, I like this. I quote him, you owl people. Isn't that beautiful? You owl people. You need to say some things to all these folks that appear in your dream. You snake people. You crab people. You crazy people. You say you owl people. I love this. You owl people. We've got some good news to tell you. That's what Pete said. This evening we went to church. Our entire family. And we heard about the great chief Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I'll have you to know that we have given our lives to Jesus Christ. We belong to him now. I have given up my medicine bag. I am not going to do that anymore. Then Pete, I love this, proceeded to outline the specific boundary of his property
Jesus.
That were being dedicated to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That night. What he did was this. I love this. He looked at the owls and he said, in case you don't know, the boundary of my house, I'll show it to you. And in case you don't know what I have here, I will tell you. This is the boundary in the north. This is the boundary in the south. This is the boundary in the east. This is the boundary in the west. It is out of bounds. It is out of bounds. It is out of bounds. You know what we're going to do in a few minutes? We're going to draw some line tonight. And we're going to say, devil, out of bounds. Don't touch my house. Don't touch my children. Don't touch my business. Don't touch my health. He said, these are the boundaries of my house. He said, I'm not stopping you from doing what you want to do. But for me, my house is out of bounds. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say, devil, my house is out of bounds. In the name of Jesus. Hey, come on, give the Lord a big hand. Give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Oh my God, this is so beautiful. So he showed them the land and he said, owls and owl people, this land belongs to me. But now it belongs to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Out of bounds.
Jesus.
And then he looked at the grass in front of his house And he said, look at the grass. It belongs to me. It belongs to the Lord. Out of bounds. He went to where the sheep were beside his house. He said, owls, look at my sheep that are bleating before me. They belong to the Lord. They are out of bounds. I'm about to close now. And then went to his wife and said, this is my wife. She belongs to me. But she belongs to the Lord. Out of bounds. Then he went to his children and said, owl men, these are my children. They belong to me, but they belong to the Lord. What are the next words? Out. Come on, give the Lord a big hand in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. By the time he said that, then he looked at the owls. He said, owls, the tree you are congregating on
belongs to the Lord.
Out of bounds.
Hey! He said the tree that you are congregating on belongs to me.
Hallelujah.
But it belongs to the Lord. It is out. Then the unthinkable happened. The first owl flapped its wing and flew out. The second flapped its wings and flew out. The third flapped its wings and flew out. And one by one, they all flew out. And that was the last time that Pete found any problem. Immediately his throat was healed. Immediately the sickness upon his wife was healed. And from that point on, revival broke out in the place because the enemies of revival were dealt with. I wanted to stand up on your feet tonight and just help me give God the praise, because God is giving us the victory, and everything that belongs to us is out of bounds to the powers of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Folks, we have the victory tonight. Come on, give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Hallelujah. Everybody just say hallelujah. I didn't hear you shout hallelujah. Now everybody repeat after me. Say in the name of Jesus. Say Satan, devil, demons, my body is mine. But my body belongs to the Lord. So from now, my body is what? My body is what? My body is what? Said devil, my finances, they belong to the Lord. My finances, God gave them to me. They belong to the Lord. Therefore, devil, concerning my finances, what do you say? Say it loud. Say it loud. Say in the name of Jesus, everything I have belongs to the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Satan, what do you say? What do you say? What do you say? Come on, put your hands together and give the Lord a big hand. Out of bounds. 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 Everybody say in the name of Jesus. Say my family. They belong to me. And they belong to the Lord. Therefore Satan, concerning my family, what do you say? I didn't hear you. Loud and clear. Oh, something is happening here now. Hallelujah. 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 Out of bounds. Out of bounds. My friend, when you get home tonight, I wanted to take a walk through your house and say, Satan, this place is out of bounds. Satan, this place is out of bounds. Satan, this place is out of bounds. In the name of Jesus, I draw a line everywhere my feet touches. Hey! Some of you have professions that can make you multi-millionaire, and the enemy is playing games with the profession that God gave you. He sent you to college. He gave you wisdom. You studied and you came out through. And now the time you should be enjoying the fruit of your labor. Everything is hard. Everything is harsh. Everything is working against you. But from tonight, what do you say? I didn't hear you. Everybody say, devil. My profession. My job. Is mine. God gave it to me. Therefore, Satan, concerning my job, concerning my profession, what do you say? I didn't hear you loud and clear. Oh God. Oh God. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. We are drawing sand in the land. We're drawing land, we're drawing a line in the sand of life tonight. And whatever we decree here at 182-69 Wexford Terrace shall be decreed in heaven. Everywhere you say out of bounds, it must be out of bounds. Everybody say, in my mind, Satan, out of bounds. In my thoughts, out of bounds. In my spiritual life, out of bounds. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Do you know what out of bounds mean? Don't trespass. Have you seen those signs? Many of you never lived in the South. I saw this in the South all the time. A man wrote on his fence. It says trespassers will be shot. And survivors will be prosecuted. So if I shoot you, if I don't kill you, I'll take you to court and prosecute you. The judge is in the house tonight. Tonight is a night of judgment. I said tonight is a night of judgment. The enemy doesn't want you to enjoy what God has given you. He doesn't want you to enjoy your wife. He doesn't want you to enjoy your husband. He doesn't want you to enjoy your certificate. But whether he likes it or not, what do you say? Hallelujah! Come on, give the Lord a big hand. We have the power. We have the authority. What happens is that the enemy has tried to keep us out of what God promised us. But now, we're going to the enemy's camp. Did you hear what I said? We are going to the enemy's camp. And we are going to take back what he has taken away from us. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise God a little bit here tonight. Say, Lord, I thank you for the victory I have right now. I thank you for the victory I have right now. I thank you for the victory I have right now. I thank you for the victory and the power and the authority I have right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. To have victory and to have dominion over all the works of the devil. That is the authority that I have. In Jesus' name we pray. I don't know what Pete thought. Maybe one of these days God will help us to meet who Pete is. And I will have him testify himself in this church. But you know what Pete did? What he did was simple. He made a positive confession. Yes, sir. About everything that belonged to him. Hallelujah. And this is so connected to what I'll be talking about tomorrow morning. He made a positive confession about everything that belonged to him. And the Bible says, you shall have what you say. Yes. The Bible says, just say it. And that will make it come to pass. You know what I wanted to do tonight? I can't give you prayer point tonight. But I wanted to preach.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear what I said? Hallelujah. I wanted to become another Pete tonight. And I wanted to preach to the owls that are around your house, around your job, around your health, around your business. I wanted to preach to them. And remember what Pete said? Pete said, owl people. Owl people. Our people. My sheep is mine. And it belongs to the Lord. So, out of bounds. My grass is mine. And it belongs to the Lord. So, out of bounds. My wife's blood is the Lord's. So, my throat is mine, but it belongs to the Lord. So what? No wonder the psalmist said, arise. Arise. And let your enemies be scattered. I see them being scattered tonight. All around you being scattered tonight. In the name of Jesus. You know what it means to wear a tight shoe? Only the one that has the tight shoe on knows where he's being squeezed. You know where the enemy is squeezing you tonight. You need to say to the devil that the children that God gave you, they are yours, but they also belong to the Lord. So what do you say to Satan? Out of bounds, and God will release your children out of prison. Are you ready to preach? We have tonight several preachers in this room. Many of us will be preaching different things. For me, this ministry that God has given us, Fresh Anointing International Church, is our own. Do you hear us? God brought us into this church. God brought us into this building. God brought us into this ministry. It's our own. But guess what? It belongs to the Lord. So what do we say to Satan? Better get out your spiritual brooms tonight. Let's sweep them out. Sweep them out. In the name of Jesus. Father, even as we do this exercise tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit will be here. As your people preach to the owl people, to the snake people, to the agents of darkness, I pray that an anointing will be upon their tongue. That anything they decree and they say X, Y, Z, out of bounds in this area, out of bounds in this area, out of bounds in this area. Lord, I decree that every area that they decree out of bounds, the devil will have no choice but to pack his load, pack his luggage, and move out. In the name of Jesus, that God's people may enjoy the fullness of God in every area of your lives. Are you ready to preach? I said, are you ready to preach? Well, come on, open your mouth and begin to preach right now in the name of Jesus. Begin to say it, begin to say it, begin to say it as it affects your life. Maybe it's your health. Let the devil know your health is yours and it belongs to the Lord. So devils and demons, so witchcraft powers out of bounds to you in the name of Jesus. Come on, don't stand there and look at me. Come on, I said, preach like Pete preached and tell the devil, pack your load and move out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, preach. Preach about your job. Preach about your husband. Preach about your children. Preach about your ministry. Preach about your health. Preach about your finances. Preach about your business. And tell the devil, out of bounds, out of bounds, out of bounds, out of bounds, in the name of Jesus. Out of bounds. In other words, pack your load and move out. Vamoos, in the name of Jesus. Devil, vamoos, in the name of Jesus. Come on, 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 come on. Be another Pete tonight. Be another Pete tonight. Tell the devil, hallelujah, 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 out of bounds, out of bounds, my promotion, out of bounds, move out, witchcraft, witchcraft, move out of bounds, my employment, out of bounds, my promotion, out of bounds, my womb, out of bounds, every area of my life, out of bounds. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, pray. Come on, preach now, preach now, preach now, preach now. Come on, preach, 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 preach. You are anointed to preach tonight. I said you are anointed to preach tonight. Command them to go out of bounds, out of bounds, out of the area, out of my area, out of my area, out of my area, out of my area. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Out of bounds, out of bounds, out of bounds, out of... Some of you need to tell the devil about your dreams. About your dreams. The enemy infiltrates your dreams. Tell the devil, out of bounds. My dreams for today. My dreams are out of bounds. My prayer life. My prayer life. Out of bounds. My love for God. Out of bounds. Take your stinking, stinking body. Stinking spirit. My health. Out a bounce. Come on, 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 stand your ground. My husband, you're not messing around with my husband. You're not messing around with my wife. You're not messing around with my children. You're not messing around with my health. Oh my, look at this lady praying here. Come on, press in, press in, press in. That's how to preach. That's how to preach. Preach to the owls. Preach to the owls. And tell them out of bounds, out of bounds, out of bounds, out of bounds, out of bounds in the name of Jesus. Out of bounds. You are not preaching. You are not preaching. You are not preaching in the name of Jesus. Preach by faith. Command it by faith. Confess it by faith in the name of Jesus. My job, my profession, my education, out of bounds in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Use your authority tonight. Use your authority tonight. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. My pancreas, out of bounds. My heart, out of bounds. My lungs, out of bounds, in the name of Jesus. Come on. Yes, 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 yes. My bank account, out of bounds. My marital life, out of bounds. My business, out of, hey, my ministry. Where are you tonight? Where are you tonight? Preachers, preachers, open your mouth and preach. Open your mouth and preach. Preach by faith in the name of Jesus. Come on, preach by faith and command the enemy out of bounds, out of bounds, out of bounds, out of bounds, out of bounds in the name of Jesus. Come on, get out of everything that belongs to me. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Out of bounds in the, yes, 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 yes. Aha, that's how to do it. That's how to do it. That's how to do it. Command it. Command it. Command it. My mind, my thoughts, my imagination, out of bounds in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Out of bounds. Out of bounds. My womb. Come on, out of bounds. My son. The enemy is trying to capture your 17-year-old, your 15-year-old, your 21-year-old. Out of bounds. Many of you, you start a new thing, it will not last. This one that you have started, the enemy must not have a hand in it. Out of bounds. This my new business. This my new education. This my new anything new. Out of bounds. Out of bounds. Come on, preach, 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 preach. Yes, thank you, Jesus. 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 Out, out, out of bounds. You must not touch this one. You will not touch this one. Not anymore. In the name of Jesus. I draw a line in the sand. I draw a line in the sand. I draw a line in the sand. Out of bounds. Out! Come on, get out of bounds. Get out of bounds. Get out from my territory. Get out from this territory. You thief. You robber. Get out of this territory. You thieves, you robbers, get out of this territory. In the name of Jesus, I pronounce this place out of bounds to you. Draw a line in the sand until the enemy never cross this land. In the name of Jesus, pack your load and move out of bounds to the arrows of the wicked. in the mighty name of Jesus. Out of bounds to the arrows of the wicked. Hey, in the name of Jesus. Out of bounds to the arrows of the wicked. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 You can reclaim everything the enemy stole from you. You can take it back by force tonight. You can exercise your authority and dominion tonight. Elabodikasa. Hey. Hey, out of bounds. Enough is enough. Out. Out. Out of bounds. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Out of bounds. 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 In Jesus' mighty, mighty name we pray. I want everybody to please come and congregate here. Everybody. Nobody left out. Everybody just stand around the first row, the second row. Just come. Everybody, we're going to do something